Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What a recovery by Stanford. You have to give them all sorts of credit. Fourth and 17 at their own 13-yard line, and defeat Sterryman in the face, and they saved it. They pulled it out. What a show. All right, here we go with the kickoff. Harmon will probably try to squib it, and he does. Ball comes loose, and the Bears have to get out of bounds. Rodgers along the sideline, another one. They're still in deep trouble at midfield. They tried to do a couple of... The ball is still loose as they get it to Rodgers. They give it back now to the 30. They're down to the 20. Oh, the band is out on the field. He's going to go into the end zone. Everybody's milling around on the field. The Bears have won. Oh my God. The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football. California has won the big game over Stanford. Oh, excuse me for my voice, but I have never seen anything like it in the history of I've ever seen any game in my life. The Bears have won it. There will be no extra point.
One of the most amazing, Ron and I decided perhaps the craziest, wildest play in the history of American sports. And the man who made that call and has done a whole lot more in his career, largely out in the Bay Area, but at one time here in Pittsburgh, Joe Starkey. Mr. Starkey, how are you?
You know, that's almost as exciting as watching Apps, Pronovo, and McDonald on the century line for the Penguins.
And you called that before Mike Lang, right? You were the
that's play, right, yes.
And what was your famous goal call here, Joe?
What a bonanza.
What a bonanza. Yes, people that's have it. Told me that. How many times have you heard the band is on the field play? How many times have you actually listened to the whole thing again since it happened?
Well, you know, like you guys did it this morning, a lot of times it's sort of an intro. If I'm doing any kind of a talk show or any kind of an event, they'll usually start with that. So I've heard it frequently. And, you know, I got pals that will just out of nowhere kind of say it. In fact, I got one friend who never starts a conversation without saying, do the Bears still have to get out of bounds? You know, lines like that. So it lives on, and I'm sure it'll be the first word in my obituary.
Joe, I got to ask you, a number of years ago, a young guy from Pittsburgh came up to you and says, Joe Starkey, I'm Joe Starkey. I got to work with the lesser Joe Starkey. Every day. How about that? It'd be kind of cool when a young guy comes up to you and says, hey, I'm Joe Starkey too.
Well, you know, it's been kind of a fun thing. And one of the things I think that's most entertaining about it is that the Pittsburgh Joe is obviously considerably younger than I am. And so a lot of times he has told me that people will come up to him and say, you know, considering how long ago you did the Penguins, it's amazing how young you look. You know,
I get the same thing, and of course, this is the other Joe Starkey here. Yeah, and I'll have people come up to me in press boxes and say, You know, what was it like when you had to call the band on the field? Stuff like that. They think I'm you and you're me. And I wonder, Joe, if our lives have crossed any parallel lines over the years. Have you had a...
I guess we both interviewed each other at various times. I know that I've had you on 49er broadcast, and I know you've interviewed me over the years. So we certainly crossed paths sometimes. And sometimes it probably confuses people, too. You know, I got a hunch that people are checking something out, and they'll say, well, wait a minute, how can he be in California if he works in Pittsburgh? You know, that kind of thing. It's kind of fun, actually.
I'm curious, what kind of relationship did you have with Mike Lang? Did you know him at all? And, boy, the Penguins made a pretty good choice there, didn't they?
Oh, in fact, you know, Mike is from Sacramento. And in fact, I have a statistician that worked for me for almost my entire career named Len Shapiro, and he was actually Mike's roommate in college. And in fact, when I was doing the Penguins, I was really torn about what to do after just 1 year. The complication was that I had a house in California, and so I was torn about staying in Pittsburgh or going back to the Bay Area, because the Seals, the reason I had my year in Pittsburgh was the fact that the Seals were owned by Charlie Finley, who had no clue how to run a hockey team. And so it was a very awkward situation. And, you know, I got so lucky even to get the Pittsburgh job. It was at the end of the 72-73 season. We were playing the Pens, the Seals were, and Tad Potter, who owned the Penguins at that time, apparently must have been looking to replace whoever was doing the games, because he sat down very close to me in a late-season game at the Igloo, and after the game was over, he said, would you be interested in moving to Pittsburgh? We're going to need an announcer. And I very politely said, you know, I'm happy where I am, and et cetera, the Bay Area. But what I didn't know is that the Seals, who, as you all know, ended up going out of business, couldn't even get on the radio. So when they found out that they would not even have a radio outlet for the 73-74 season, I called Tad and said, if that job's still open, I'd be happy to take it. And I went back for the year, but the family stayed in California. And at the end of the year, it was a tough call, because I really liked Pittsburgh. I loved the team. I loved the guys on the team. And so, you know, the family ties were there to go back to the West Coast, and that's what I ended up doing.
Joe Starkey is on the Nemecolon fan hotline, the Joe Starkey who isn't me. Nemecolon around every corner creates real-life magic for guests. Do you agree with Ron and I, Joe, that the band is on the field play is the craziest play maybe in the history of American sports?
Yeah, I think it's hard to find one that has all those elements together. I mean, there have been, throughout history, obviously, we all know there are games that have been won on the last play of the game. They've been won on interceptions. They've been won on, I remember one where they failed on it just a few years ago. A team failed on a two-point try, and the other side picked it up and ran it back into the other end zone for a score. But that whole package of having the band on the field, plus the atmosphere of the game, that put it in a completely different category, because nothing's ever happened like that. And, of course, the Stanford band is legendary anyhow for being so bizarre. I mean, they are literally banned from playing at Notre Dame because they made fun of the Catholics 1 year at South Bend. And so they can't go back there. Whether that's been lifted or not, I don't know. But for a long time, at least, they were not even allowed to perform in South Bend. And so, yeah, it's a unique, completely unique event. And I was just, in fact, after it was over, frankly, I was scared to death, because I thought, what if I called this wrong? This is really a horror. I can't mess this up, because obviously the guys doing the Stanford broadcast weren't going to worry about it. The television broadcast messed it up by saying that, well, this won't count. And so it really had to be the home side announcer who got it right. And I was terrified for a long time that I did it wrong.
Al Michaels said on his Do You Believe in Miracles call that it wasn't planned or rehearsed. Obviously, you would have had no chance to rehearse anything like this. So I am curious about what you just said. I won't speak for Ron, but I know a lot of times if I write a column or say something on the air, talk about a topic, I will relive it and wonder, even if I think it was good, could I have done it better? Were you pleased? Yeah. Were you pleased with your call immediately after? And all these years later, are you pleased with it? How many times have you relived it? Would you have said or done anything differently?
Well, I think it bothered me for quite a while because I couldn't figure out why I didn't give more names. As you know, if you're a hockey announcer, you really got to be quick. You got to have a lot of names pouring out of your head in a hurry, and they're way down on the ice, and you're usually way upstairs. And so there is a certain skill level to be able to call the names right, and I felt that I didn't, and I couldn't figure out why. And it was at that point, remember, there was no ESPN. There was no national show coverage constantly that we get these days of being able to rerun these things. So even I didn't get to see it except very briefly. And so I was very bothered about the fact that I gave so few names until I got to see it a few times and realized, well, wait a minute, don't beat yourself up anymore, because the fact of the matter is, from my perspective, I literally couldn't see a couple of the laterals and who got the ball, because the band members literally were in the way. So a lot of it was less detailed than I would normally call a play like that, but I'm comfortable with it now because of just the scenario in front of me. And it was late afternoon. It's getting dark. It's after 4 o'clock in California in late November, and so I'm very comfortable with it at this point. And the zaniness is probably the key to make it work anyhow, that I got so carried away. But it did bother me for a long time.
So great. Such a great, great call. Did you have a connection? There's been so many wonderful stories in later years about the band members and the last person who went down and things like that. Did you have any connection with those people as the years went on, especially not just the players, but the members of the band?
Oh, yeah. In fact, one of the weird connections is that the Cal player that scored the touchdown, his name is Kevin Moen. And the connection is so bizarre, it's crazy. When I grew up in Chicago, went to Loyola, got an MBA, but I after working, literally, I was in the National Guard during the riots, okay, of 68. We had the Martin Luther King killing. We had all the things going on with the convention. And even though I was born in Chicago, my whole family, most of them still there, I decided I got to get out of here. So I took a job on the West Coast, went out to California, and actually got into the banking business. Ended up working for Union Bank in California. So my life changed pretty dramatically by just coming out to the West Coast. And so it was put me in a completely different world. And I got lucky and got hired by the Seals because nobody else wanted the job. I mean, they were not well thought of. And there was nobody else in position to as a major candidate, and so I managed to get the job. In fact, it's a bizarre story. I don't know how much time we got to talk here, but when I found working at the bank, and I would go to the forum and practice doing play-by-play, I would finally, when I found out that the Seals needed an announcer, I literally created a trip to Charlie Finley's office in Chicago, brought the tape with me, and said, "Mr. Finley, I know you need an announcer. Will you listen to this? I'd like the play-by-play job." And so he listened to the tape. He hired me on the spot in his office on Michigan Avenue in Chicago. And in 10 minutes, I managed to get fired. I said, my MBA is human resources, the business world. And I said, you know, Mr. Finley, you have a lot of turnover. I could probably help you with that. Oh. And he decided that was an insult, and he fired me. So I had the job for 10 minutes. I went around him. I went to the station manager that had the rights to the Seals. I played the tape for him. He said, well, we'll hire you. And I said, now you need to get it past Charlie. The A's were in the World Series. It was the 72-73 team. And the tape was brought by the station manager to the booth that Finley had at the game. And he played the tape for him. And about the fourth or fifth inning, Finley's been listening to the tape, and he says, you know, the guy sounds like he could do it. He sounds pretty good. I think, okay, we'll hire him, but there's something about that voice. Why do I know that voice? And he says, oh, I know. That's that son of a bleep banker that I fired when he came in to see me. So he said, oh, give him the job. Carry on. So that's how I got hired.
Joe, the other Joe Starkey, my partner here, mentioned Al Michaels' call, do you believe in miracles? I understand you were at Lake Placid for that hockey game, the Miracle on Ice, and you actually called the game. Is that correct?
Well, you know, again, right place at the right time. By that time, I'd gone to work for KGO in San Francisco, which was an ABC network station, and so they sent me to cover that Olympics, and I had the advantage of having just come out of the National Hockey League, so I knew all the players. I mean, Mike Ruzzioni had been actually with me in my final years with the Colorado Rockies, who obviously don't longer exist anymore, ended up in New Jersey. But Mike Ruzzioni was somebody I knew, and so I made sure that I saw as many of those hockey games as I could because I had such familiarity with the league. Fred Patrick, the assistant coach, and I used to drive together to Seals games because he was a Seals, and we lived in the same neighborhood in the Bay Area. And so I had some insights into that team. A lot of people didn't. I had places where I could go that a lot of the media couldn't. And so it was not hard for me that when that game got into the third period, that I called ABC in San Francisco and said, this is going to sound ridiculous because it was a tape delay game. Okay, so this is the middle of the afternoon. It's not going to show up on television for several more hours. But I called our station manager, KGO in San Francisco, and I said, this is going to sound ridiculous, but please hook me into every ABC station you can get on the West Coast right now. We got a really incredible situation developing here. I want to call this hockey game. And I give them credit for not saying, you're a complete idiot. Well, no, we won't. They said, okay, let's go with it. And so I did broadcast the third period on radio to the West Coast.
That's amazing. Well, Joe, from one Joe Starkey to another here, I really appreciate you taking the time. Stories are great, and it was a pleasure to talk to you, Ron.
Can I ask him one more thing?
Sure.
You did a lot of the 49er games, right, in the glory years. You know, Eddie DeBartolo Jr., obviously here in Youngstown, Pennsylvania, and Montana. And what was it like to deal with the 49ers in those glory years?
Oh, my God. I mean, what a thrill. I got to broadcast three Super Bowls. And the organization, when Eddie owned it, and the family still owns it, but DeBartolo is so incredibly generous a man. He was just a great guy to work for. There was nothing he wouldn't do for his players. He was constantly taking him on off-season trips and taking him to Hawaii to celebrate a Super Bowl and all those kind of things. We had the best airplanes, the best hotels. Everything you did with Eddie DeBartolo was really first class. It was a very special time. And obviously the people. I mean, I'm still friends with so many of them to this day. Steve Young is one of the great people I've ever known. He's just a great human being. Watch Joe Montana to Jerry Rice all those years, things like that. So that was, you know, I said there's no doubt that I missed the NHL. I loved the NHL when I was there, but nothing matched being able to broadcast all those Super Bowls with the 49ers.
Joe, thanks again for taking the time. We really appreciate it, and hopefully we'll connect again. And once every 20 years, I talked to you up in the Niners press box in 2003 when the Steelers were there.
Yeah, that's about it. By the way, I got one quick story for you. You might like. Now, you all know who John Miller is, probably, right? The baseball announcer.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. There's a famous John Miller basketball coach here, high school, that we thought maybe you were talking about. Go ahead. No,
but Miller's in the Hall of Fame as a baseball announcer. How do you like this one? When I went to Pittsburgh, I sent my wife and kids to live with the family in Chicago. That's where we're from. Okay. So Miller is 24 years old. He's unemployed as a sports announcer. And I said, John, look, I said, why don't you move into my house? I've got to be gone all winter in Pittsburgh. I'd like somebody in there. No rent. Just pay the electricity bill or whatever it is, that sort of thing. Just take over the house and keep it clean and cut the grass and that sort of thing. It's all yours. He said, oh, that's great. He's a young kid trying to get a job. In February, at the end of February, he calls me. He says, Joe, I just got a job. I'm going to go to work in Des Moines, Iowa for a minor league team. So maybe I'm going to get into a break here. He called me 24 hours later, and he says, Joe, he said, I just got a call from Charlie Finley. He has just hired me to do the A's baseball, and that started his career, and he was living in my house. So there you go.
Wow.
A lot of weird coincidences, huh?
I'll say. That's amazing. All of this is amazing. The coincidence of two Starkeys named Joe. Thank you, Joe.
Great to talk to you. Believe me. Good. Hope we'll see you again soon.
Take care.
A typical guy with his career, great storyteller, right? Myron can tell stories. Bob Prince can tell stories. Lang can tell stories. This guy's a great storyteller.
And he's the more famous Joe Starkey, the only famous Joe Starkey, really.
I'm not willing to go
that
there.
That kind of hurts.
I'm not willing to go there.
How about that call, though, and the fact that he sort of wished he had done some things differently, but you got to live with it in the end, right? Yeah, what you say on the radio, what you write in the paper, and what you say during a game.
What could he have done? I mean,
I know.
You know, there was no prep for that.
And it was so great, just the raw emotion of it. And I thought of the play that we talked about for craziest sports plays in history. Dickie Meagle, or Dickie Mogul from Rice, is the guy who jumped off the sidelines in the Cotton Bowl back in the 50s and tackled an opposing player, Ron. He tackled the guy.
I thought Cowher was going to do it.
Tommy Lewis was the running back for Alabama, and this guy named Dickie jumped off the sidelines and tackled him, and the referee awarded the guy a 95-yard touchdown on the play. He took one for the team, Ron.
He did.
And he played for the Steelers, I might add, later in his career. Dickie Meagle, or Mogul.
Dickie Meagle. That was fun.
That was great. Now we're going to go back to Steelers mystery quotes from yesterday.
That was fun.
We are live from Studio B at Bowser Chevrolet in Monroeville. The afternoon guys have Kenny Pickett. They're going to get him on the line for an hour. How about that? So you can listen to that later. But more Steelers cuts for us next. Then we're going to talk to Jeff Hathorn, who's been covering OTAs. That should be great. And lots of Steelers stuff, lots of OTA stuff ahead. We'll tell you about TJ Watt's status. Wasn't there yesterday. Is he there today? We'll tell you. On Cook and Joe.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.